All right, as we look in Ephesians chapter 4, we started looking at verse 17 last week, but we're just going to go back and just kind of look at that to bring everything in on tonight. In verse 17 through verse 19, what you find is that Paul gives three characteristics of the ungodly lifestyle which believers are to forsake. We shouldn't imitate these lifestyles, but we should forsake these ungodly lifestyles. And so what was Paul's three characteristics of these ungodly lifestyle? Well, first of all, in verse 17, unbelievers are intellectually unproductive. And God doesn't want us to be unproductive. He wants us to be productive. Secondly, unbelievers are spiritually separated from God, thus ignorant of God's truth. Verse 18. And then thirdly, unbelievers are morally insensitive. Verse 19. So let's look at, again, verse 17. Paul says, "This I say, therefore." When you look at therefore, what therefore is therefore, it joins the following passages with the proceeding in a twofold manner. First of all, it resumes the thought begun in verse 1 through verse 3. Secondly, it continues to spell out what constitutes a worthy walk. It continues to spell out what constitutes a worthy walk. But not only that, since each Christian is divinely enabled with some spiritual gift, he must walk not as other Gentiles walk, lest his much needed contribution to the church growth be solely missed. See, unbelieving Gentiles lived in the vanity of their mind without proper purpose, causing all of their efforts to obtain happiness to end in failure. So he says, "Therefore, I testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." When you look at the word walk, the word walk expresses daily conduct. It refers back to what Paul has said about the believer's high calling in Christ Jesus in verse 1. Because Christians are part of the body of Christ, have been spiritually gifted by the Holy Spirit, and are edified through other believers, then they should not continue to live like the rest of the ungodly. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, "He that saith, he abideth in him." Now, if you abide in him, notice what he says, "ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So we got to walk like God wants us to walk. And so we cannot accomplish the glorious work of Christ by continuing to live the way the world lives. See, you can't live like Jesus on Sunday and live like the world through the rest of the week. No, you got to live like Jesus every day of your life. And so he says to the Gentile, when you look at the Gentile, the word Gentiles here, it is speaking of Gentiles who have not received or obeyed Jesus as their Savior. Because, see, Gentiles who had received or obeyed Jesus are really the spiritual house of Israel. And so Christians, whether Jew or Gentile, we are in the world, but we are not of this world. We are not to live like the world. There ought to be something different. And so we are not to walk in a worldly fashion. We have given up our worldly mind. Well, we should have given up our worldly mind and taken on the mind of Christ. Vanity of the mind should not be part of a Christian. Vanity of the mind should not be part of a Christian. Because unbelievers and Christians think differently. And they are therefore to act differently. And so when you look at the vanity of their mind, as far as spiritual and moral issues are concerned, their rational processes are distorted. It's inadequate. It's failing to produce godly understanding or moral living. Their life is empty. Their life is vain and without meaning. So when you have time, read Romans, I think I gave you that last week, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 28. But also I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so we need to understand. And also in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. And so why is this? Why are we not to have the vanity of mind? Because see, man's sinfulness flows out of his reprobate mind. And the transformation must begin with the mind. If you're going to be transformed, it starts with the mind. When you look in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says again, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. But then he continues in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now notice, understanding darkness, darkened, their understanding darkened, they were void of all saving knowledge, ignorant of many things concerning God, which the light of nature might have taught them. They sat in darkness, and they loved it rather than light. Do you know somebody, even a child of God, who loved darkness rather than light? And so by their ignorance, they were alienated from the life of God. They were estranged from. They had a dislike to a life of holiness, which is not only that way of life which God requires and approves, and by which we live to Him, by which resemble God Himself in His purity, His righteousness, His truth, and godliness. But the question comes, what was the cause of their being thus ignorant? It was because of the blindness or the hardness of their heart. The blindness of their heart refers to the hardness of their will. Gentiles going against the divine will has caused them to be separated from God's life. And this characteristic of ungodly persons is ignorance of God's truth. And so we have to understand, their thinking is not only fertile, but spiritually uninformed. And the cause of their darkness, the cause of their ignorance, the cause of their separation from God, is their willful determination to remain in sin. And what happens? God blinds their minds. See, God wants our heart. And so we were, you remember, we were walking, there was a time we were walking through life in darkness until the light of Jesus shone forth in our lives. And His light does away with all darkness. The mind is an enemy of God until it is converted into the mind of Christ. Let me say that again. The mind is an enemy of God until it is converted into the mind of Christ. Faith in God does not come by being able to see something with your physical eyes. Faith is believing in your heart things you cannot see with your eyes. That's why when you go back and we look at Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So let's go back again to Ephesians chapter 4. So he says, again, in verse 17 and 18, as we looked at, therefore, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Man, this is something. when your mind is being seared. Look what happens. So he says now, who being past feelings, it means having become callous. These unbelievers have gone so deep in sin that they are insensitive to moral right and wrong. We have that today. There's so many have gone so deep in sin that they are really insensitive to moral right and wrong. They had no sense of their sin, nor of the misery and danger of their case by means of it. In other words, man, they just become callous. Their minds have become seared. And so as they continue to sin, turn away from God, they become still more pathetic about moral and spiritual things. Look at Romans 1, in verse 32. Romans 1 in verse 32. He says there, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. They reject all standards of righteousness. And they do not care about the consequences of their unrighteousness, their unrighteous thoughts, their unrighteous actions. And so as a result of it, they gave themselves over to lasciviousness. In other words, they indulged themselves in their filthy lusts and yielding themselves up to the dominion of these, they become slaves of sin and the devil, walking all uncleanliness with greediness. In other words, they made it their common practice to commit all sorts of uncleanliness. When men's conscience are once seared, there is no bound to their sins. When they set their hearts upon gratification of their lusts, nothing good can come from it. And so these hideous sins that I mentioned here are exactly what our society is caught up in today. A sin-sick people are caught up in the sins that's mentioned. They are in darkness and are not even aware there is a light. And so people who live in the world are living in darkness. They are lost. Those who do not allow the light of Jesus to transform them are walking in darkness. There is no hope for them. They are caught up in the darkness, committing every type of vile sin. And those who are dying, those who are caught up, desensitized to that which is killing them, because they choose it that way. And even when held up shamefully in full view of the world, their sins are not recognized as sinful or as the cause of increasing meaninglessness, hopelessness, and despair. See, man is made for God and designed according to his standard. And when he rejects God, when he and his standards, he destroys himself in the process due to the result of personal choices based on principles that are specifically and purposefully against God and his way. The only cure for any of this is to repent of their sin, seek Jesus, the light of the world. The only thing that does away with darkness is the light. And so the things here mentioned are filthy sins. And there is no cure for sin except Jesus Christ. And so these Christians must distinguish themselves from such Gentiles. And so as we go on, when we look at verse 20 and 21 in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 20, after he have said, who being past feelings have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But notice what he says. Notice how he challenges them. He says in verse 20 and 21, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. See, there are three figurative descriptions of salvation, and we're going to be looking at that in our study next week, Lord's willing, of salvation, the new birth. Because when you look at verse 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. So what does it mean to learn Christ? Means what? To learn Christ is to be saved. Let's look at 1 John. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to kind of close out tonight. We got an announcement and some prayer requests. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 John 2, verse 4, he says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The ways of God and the ways of the world are not compatible. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, he says in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. And so he says, after he have said in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, so be that you have heard him have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So to know Jesus and believe the truth in him sets you free from the desire to sin. Let's look at this last scripture, 1 John 5 and verse 20. 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so we're going to close out tonight. And next week, Lord, we'll begin with verse 22 and 24. And what we're going to be seeing in that, we're going to see we ought to do three things. And maybe if you go through it and see, you find out three things that we are to do in verse 22 through verse 24. Again, thank you for just listening in on tonight.